So, I like giants. And giants are in Scripture because giants were in the earth. And only a casual reading of Scripture reveals that there were dreadful things that happened to the early days of the earth as Satan attempted to corrupt the promised seed that was to come. To prevent its continuance, to derail the purpose of God, Satan had all these different things to prevent it. And to direct the prophecy of Genesis 3:15 away from the true seed to the false one. And I don't know if you remember that verse, Genesis 3:15. Let me read it, or you can look it up there in your Bible if you wish, but we've gone over that verse so many times. Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his feet." And that statement, between thy seed, he is speaking to Satan. And it tells you right there that there is this possibility that Satan can somehow have the power to turn himself into flesh. And angels are males. Angels don't have progeny. They don't have children, except if they turn themselves into humans and they take on women and have progeny or children as a result of that. And we're going to be looking at the results of that prophecy there in Genesis 3:15, with all of its corrupting effects upon the human race. These catastrophic events in the infancy of the race left indelible marks on the minds of man. Mythology came about as a result of it, and the physical earth itself, therefore the catabolae that we have studied about, the overthrow that comes there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, where the earth became without form and void. All of that, and that, of course, was connected with the flood, of Noah's flood and his family. All of that is a result of what we read about, forecasted there in Genesis 3:15. Possibly the single most devastating event is found in Genesis chapter 6. So let's begin there. Open your Bibles to chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Now, it did not bother him that he had created man for the purposes that he intended for man to be created for, but it repented him because it had become so horrible on earth with these giants and the corruption and Sodom and Gomorrah, and it had become so corrupt that he hated it for man, not himself, but for man. So the first thing I ask here with regard to what we read, who are the sons of God in that verse? What proof do we have who these sons of God are? Well, there's a lot of places that show us who they are. Turn first to Job chapter 1. It's on page 667 in your companion Bible. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And then jump over to chapter 2, verse 1. And again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them to present himself before the Lord. Turn over to chapter 38 of Job. Chapter 38, verse 7. Or beginning maybe with verse 6, whereupon the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sang together, all the sons of God shouted for joy. Here the context makes it clear that angels are sons of God. I just point out a few verses here, but you can find this right through the scripture, that angels are the sons of God. In Daniel, there is an instance where these words are explained by the speaker himself to mean an angel. Turn to Daniel chapter 3. It's page 1185. Daniel chapter 3. And in that third chapter, we'll start with verse 24. Well, let's begin with 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. The king had them thrown in there. And then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astoned and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the kings, the counselors being gathered together, saw these men upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. And then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants and trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own god. You notice the fourth that was with them was described as a son of God. An angel had been sent and protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar describes him as a son of God. On the other hand, an angel. Genesis 6 that we read places the daughters of men over against the sons of God. And there's no logical connection between the intermarriage of descendants from Adam mingled with the daughters of Adam, resulting in a progeny of giants. But the sons of God were superhuman, something monstrous to be expected out of what they did. They were superhuman beings. They're still there today. They still exist. So, was Adam a son of God? Turn to John chapter 3, verse 6. John chapter 3, beginning with verse 5 of chapter 3, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Hence, Adam was flesh, but he was not born as such. He didn't have an earthly mind. He was created. He's referred to as a son of God. That's why he's called a son of God. He was created. Back up to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Verse 38, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. So there we see that Adam was in fact considered to be a son of God. Not born of woman, but created. So the next question is, are we sons of God? You have been born of the flesh. What say ye? Are you, yes or no? Well, technically, no, not yet. As a result of the new nature and by direct creation of God, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You are a new creation in Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 10. 2:10 in Ephesians. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, and good to works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in. in them, created. So, go back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Are you starting to see the picture? New person that you are in Christ starts and you begin to be qualified as the sons of God. Created new. The new being that is within you gives you this title of sons of God. The ordinary man, the natural man, doesn't have it. Nor will he enjoy the benefits of that. Turn over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Page 1873. Chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. This is why the angels and Adam are called sons of God throughout Scripture. They were created as such. The angels had no progeny as such until they looked upon the daughters of men. But those of us have become, to those that believe, gave he the power to become sons of God. So we may not be there yet in total, but we are referred to as sons of God in our belief. We have no authority or right in Genesis 6 to assume anything other than angels that were human in their fall and took wives of human origin. And the nature of the fall is clearly stated throughout Scripture. Those insurrect, I refer to them as insurrect angels. They have caused all of the problems within the world and it's within the universe. I think it's so huge, I don't think we have a clue as to what this evil is throughout the universe. We only know right here. But the nature of the fall is clearly stated in Scripture. They were able, as superhuman, to leave their spiritual bodies in which they were created. And this sin is stated in terms of the subsequent sexual sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the time of the fall is recorded in Scripture. When that happened this time, I think it happened before in some shape or form. And the reason I say that is because the fossil record, which is millions of years old, the fossil record shows that there was some kind of flesh or blood on the earth prior to Adam. But anyway, during scriptural times, the time of the fall is recorded in 1 Peter. So we're in 1 John, just back up to 1 Peter. Chapter 3, verse 20. Begin with 18. For Christ hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, where few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. And we've talked about that, those eight souls, they were not perfect. They were sinful, but their pedigree with regard to these angels was still intact as God intended. So this 1 Peter 19, 18, and 20 sets the time of the fall that we're talking about. And like I say, this has happened more than once in Noah's time. We also know that these angels are trapped, and there is a fire one day that can destroy both body and spirit. We read about that in the book of Revelation. So ultimately, they will be destroyed as a result of their iniquity. They are referred unto judgment. Look at 2 Peter then, chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. They cannot cause a problem. They made a fatal error when they went from a spirit being and turned themselves into a fleshly being. They did not have the power to raise themselves out of that like the one, and that one is Christ. He is the only one that has been able to speak with authority in the face of death, in that he had the power, the God power, to raise himself out of that. The angels that were insurrect and turned themselves into beings couldn't do it. And so where are they? In the grave, the hell here. He delivered them there into chains of darkness until that fire in the latter part of Revelation is there that's able to destroy both body and spirit. So the results are this subject that's always been interesting to me is the giants themselves. There are two words in the scripture that are used with regard to these critters. And the words in the Hebrew are Nephilim and Raphim. And they are those words are translated giants. They're sometimes translated Anak or the sons of Anak. Sometimes in the name of people, like, for example, the Canaanites, the Moabites, the Amorites, the Zumans, the Emes. Sometimes they are even given specific names, like the most famous, of course, is Goliath of Gath. There's others in the Old Testament, Og, king of Bashan. And an interesting thing is that eight times, Raphim, the word hides the giant name because it is translated dead. or deceased. Look at Isaiah chapter 26, page 962. Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 13. O Lord our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us. By thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead, they shall not live, they are Rephaelim. They are deceased. Why would that be the case? Why is that put that way? The reason is they have no chance of resurrection. They're only to be destroyed. And so they are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. That word Rephaelim, giant, is dead. And he has no chance. He shall not rise again. We see so much of this today in mythology. The names of these guys has come through in the Greek mythology. The name Titans, Zeus, Atlas, Achilles, Uranus, great men of renown that we read about still in Greek mythology today. There is truth to some of this Greek mythology. This eruption of the angels was Satan's first attempt to prevent the coming one prophesied there in Genesis 3:15. Something that's interesting, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 3. Deuteronomy chapter 3. Page 242. Here we read a little bit about one of these. In Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 11, for only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. It is not in Rabbath of the children of Ammon. 9 cubits was the length thereof, and 4 cubits the breadth thereof, it, the cubit of a man. Do you have any idea how big that guy must have been? What is a cubit? Well, a cubit is somewhere between 20 and 25 inches. Do you realize that if you apply these cubits, how many cubits did it say? 9 cubits was the length of his bed. That's 18 feet. So he must have been 12. Can you imagine the size of these guys? Goliath was, I don't know, 9.5 or something. Can you imagine the size of Og in a if his bed was 18 feet long? It's amazing. If Satan could have been successful, it would have averted his own doom. But he wasn't. Why? Because God decided to kill them all off at one point, and that's what happened with Noah's flood. He took them all away. The only ones left were Noah's family, 8 souls, and their pedigree was still intact. The angels had not been involved in any of their DNA, and so God saved those 8 for the human race. But if you remember back in Genesis 6, where we read and it said, after that, it happened again. After the flood wiped them all out, it happened again. More than 500 years later, when it was known that the promised one was to come through Abraham, turn to Genesis chapter 12, verse 6. Genesis chapter 12, verse 6. And Abraham passed to the land and to the place of Shechem and to the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was in the land. The Canaanites were giants, some of them. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto thy seed, will I give this land? And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. So the promise way back, by the way, this is 500 plus years after the first, 500 some years after the flood, we apparently have these guys again in the human race. Giants, when Moses went out, sent spies into the promised land, the giants were there. It scared them. It scared them to death. You can imagine walking up to some guy 12 foot tall and, I don't know, 4 foot wide or 5 foot. Can you imagine the size? Turn to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, verse 29. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Those are all giant populations. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Well, they could have with the hand of God. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched into the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. I'd like to have an NFL franchise and a couple of these guys as running backs. Wouldn't that be something? Only Joshua and Caleb would enter because of what was there. Just scared the hell out of them, and rightly so. So the conclusion I come to is the great conflict that we see here concerning this and other things throughout the Bible in our studies. It is but one of the assaults that Satan conceived to serve his own interest and defeat that of Christ. There are at least a dozen other attempts, but this one was the first and was directed against the whole human race. When Abraham was called, then he and his seed were attacked. When David was enthroned, then the royal line was attacked. When the seed of the woman himself came, then the storm of Satan burst forth upon him. Herod, trying to kill him, killing all the two-year-olds. Christ, almost dying before he gets to the cross. The onslaught of Satan to stop the promised seed that was Christ. There's many others, but now, with Christ having finished his work, the barrage is now directed at you and me and the human race to discredit Christ and replace the truth with the lie. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your written word. We thank you for the understanding that we can have. We're thankful and grateful that you are mindful of us to provide us with something that we may grow in the grace and the knowledge of you. I pray for each one here individually that we all may grow in the grace and the knowledge of you, that we all may be rooted and grounded in your love. Thank you for the salvation that we have through your Son, for it's in his name that we pray. Amen.